public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.
Views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
Welcome to the Las Vegas. All positive, all the time. Hosted by Amy Ayoub and Scott Ashton. For the next 60 minutes, you're going to meet business people, elected officials, charities, entertainers, sports figures, and more, talking about the positive things they're doing in business and life, and all the while promoting the Vegas we love. Now, let's bring on the Las Vegans. Here is Amy Ayoub and Scott Ashton.
Welcome to the Las Vegan, all positive, all the time. I'm Amy Ayoub. My co-host Scott Ashton is not with us tonight, but want to say hello to him. I can't imagine that he's not listening. And we are honored to have as a special co-host today, Caroline Sioka, Community Relations Director for SuperPond. And Caroline was our first guest on the Las Vegan. Caroline, we're still getting comments about how great your interview was and how much people learned about the community and about what you do at SuperPond.
Oh, that's great to hear. And you know what? It's fantastic to be back as your co-host. I'm honored to be here, Amy. And you know, I'm kind of glad that Scott had to take a night off.
Like I said, I'm sure he's listening. He better be. So we'll find out. Maybe he'll call in for us. We have a great guest tonight, Mark Senecola, and Mark is the founder, president, and CEO of BannerView.com, which is a company that helps small and mid-sized businesses build, promote, and maintain their websites, which is a huge issue in businesses. So you're also very active in the community, Mark, so we have a lot to discuss with you, but would you start off with telling our listeners a little bit about you? You're one of those rarities of a native Las Vegan, I love to say that. And so tell us about growing up here, where you went to school, and how and why you created this company.
Well, Amy, thanks for having me on the show, and Caroline, appreciate it, and coming in and co-hosting. Well, I grew up in Las Vegas, like you mentioned, native of Las Vegas, actually. Very native of Las Vegas. What I mean by that is my mother's lived in the same house for 40 plus years.
Oh, wow.
I grew up on the same street. I never had to move. So my brothers and sisters, we pretty much all went to the same schools. Graduated from Bonanza High School. And from there, you know, went out of state for a couple years to go to college, get a degree, and came back. And when I came back, I always knew I was going to come back. So when I came back, I decided I was looking for a job in my industry, and I became a network engineer for the city of North Las Vegas on a government contract. And during that time, I got together with some buddies from high school, or, you know, I've really known them from grade school on up, and said, you know, I've always wanted to start a business. And we started brainstorming, came up with some ideas, and that's kind of how it developed. And I can go more into the story about the creation of it, if you'd like to hear that.
Sure. Tell us a little bit more about it.
So Jeff Helvin, who's one of my best friends, I've known him since the sixth grade. We played baseball together. We got together. I was at his house one day after I was working for the city of North Las Vegas. And I said, Jeff, we got to start something. So in his bedroom, we started brainstorming some ideas. We came up with some domain names, BannerView.com being one of them. But the original idea that we had was actually a website, and it still operates today, called yardsalenet.net. And of course, we couldn't get .com or, you know, just .net. We had to get net.net. So it wasn't the greatest name. But anyways, what it was is it was a site that was going to compete with eBay, except for we were going to do fixed price listings, and we were going to own the inventory. So the idea was we were going to go around to it was kind of an antiques roadshow meets the internet, where we're going to go to yard sales and try to find goods for sale, you know, a quarter, a dollar, and turn around, you know, and find some gems that we could sell for $300-$400 online. And it was a good concept. The challenge was is that the business license requirements were pretty steep. And Caroline, you'll appreciate this in the pawn business, but it was like they treated us like we were a pawn shop. So, which wasn't a challenge because the background, it wasn't an issue. I mean, I was 19 years old, so what did I have to do wrong? And so that wasn't an issue, and we were going to go through that process. But what was required of us is when we went to a yard sale or we bought any goods, we had to get a copy of somebody's driver's license. So could you imagine that I went to your yard sale, and I'm going to buy a little trinket from you for a dollar and say, Amy, I need a copy of your driver's license as well. You're going to say, you're nuts, get the heck out of my yard. So That was a challenge. So we decided to kind of pivot, and this was around the time of the dot-com bust. So we had a little money that we got from friends and family, and it was starting to run out. And so we pivoted that site and said, okay, well, we're going to try to get it where people can list their own items for sale, like, you know, just classified ads. And we decided that we were going to make money via banner advertising. Well, the market basically imploded around that time. We couldn't make any money off the site, or we weren't going to make money quickly enough. But we decided, you know what? We're pretty good at building these websites, and we did a good job with this. So maybe we can make some money building some websites. And that's when we brought on some early customers and started getting some traction and went down that path. And so we founded the company in 1999, and in early 2000, we took the bannerview.com name, which is one of the names that we came up with during our brainstorming session, and decided we're going to make that our web design brand. And then that's kind of how Bannerview was born in February of 2000. And so that's what we've been doing. Most of our revenue is generated, of course, via bannerview.com products and services.
Mark, you're known for branding and developing personal brand. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what does it mean to have a personal brand? You're a business owner and took the big plunge to go into it. Talk about what it means to have a personal brand.
Really, it's having a personal brand is making your mark on the universe, or there's, you know, whether it's business, whether it's personal, and it's how unique you are. So it's really, your brand is how unique you can be compared to everybody else. You know, with 6+ billion people on the planet, you must be a little unique in order to stand out from the crowd. So you really need to cultivate that brand, and everybody has a brand, whether
should
they like
it
or not.
Should you have a different brand, an online brand versus a offline brand, if you will? Should that be different?
Especially if you're doing any online dating, you know, that can be,
thankfully I'm not.
Yeah, me neither. I'm married.
That leaves me.
Amy, you know, let me ask you this question. Have you ever done have you done any online dating?
Not yet.
Okay. So if you think about it in the terms of online dating, and I'm sure people out there that have used very popular websites, of course, in the online dating world. Well, if you go to somebody, Caroline, and you look at their profile, and they've got a picture, and they talk about themselves, and then you go to meet them, okay, and you're going to be on a blind date, and either you don't recognize them, or they're completely different than what you expected online. Mm-hmm. And so you could see how that can cause a disconnect. So really what you want to do is you want to make sure your online brand is going to be consistent with your offline brand so that you don't surprise people in a negative way. Now, yeah. Sometimes there's some positive surprises, but usually you hear the online dating horror stories. So that's just one example of how there can be a disconnect between an online and an offline brand and how it can be a negative. So I really suggest that you position yourself so your online brand is going to be consistent with your offline brand. So that way people, if they see you online or they meet you offline and vice versa, your credibility is going to be much greater if they see the same person in one light as opposed to another light.
Mm-hmm. And finding that balance between having an online presence and also having an offline presence, because sometimes we can get a little comfortable with the online mediums that are available and forget how to present ourselves offline.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of people use the computer screen as kind of a barrier, and they let their guard down a little bit more than they would in front of somebody. And so you have to be very careful, of course. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to do something in public, you know, you really shouldn't be doing it online, and vice versa. And you really want to synchronize, you know, what you're doing online. If you're not willing to broadcast it to the world, one of the pieces of advice I gave to my kids was when they got an email account, and I said, you need to make sure that you never write an email that you wouldn't be comfortable with that got posted on the front page of the New York Times. Of course, they don't know what the New York Times is. They're thinking Facebook or whatever. But that wouldn't be.
You don't want it posted in the cafeteria.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't want it broadcast over the intercom system at your school. So you have to be very careful before you decide to post something, because as soon as you post it on the internet, whereas offline, you know, if you're having a conversation in a room with somebody, you know, there's some semblance mm-hmm. of some privacy.
Right.
But even though somebody could be recording you, you never know. But when it comes to online, once you hit that send button, there's no unsend button.
Yeah, you can't take it back.
Yeah, and people can forward it. You may think you're having a private conversation with somebody, but there's nothing that can stop that person from forwarding it on to a media person or a high-profile blogger that's going to share it with all of their millions of followers or what have you.
Right.
Well, like you said, everybody has a brand. So they just don't always think of it that way, right?
Exactly.
But the way you act, whether you follow up or not, the way you treat people, respect them or don't respect them, that's branding yourself, right? The
Absolutely.
Way you answer your telephone, the way you respond to emails. So how can people take more control of that and consciously set their brand?
Well, one is really, you know, I make a recommendation, of course, we're in this industry, that you do have your own website presence. And that's an effective way of being able to have some control over your online brand. And that's involved, or what's involved in that, of course, is registering a domain name that is, hopefully, if you can get your name, I highly recommend secure your name because somebody else might.
Wow.
They do that a lot in politics.
Absolutely.
Right.
And or if you have a nickname or something, because, you know, there may be a million Bob Smiths out there, but there may be, you know, a middle name or middle initial or some sort of nickname you had. That's really your brand. I mean, if you get a nickname in school, you've just been branded.
Right.
And some people embrace that brand. Some people, it's, you know, they don't embrace it. But I say embrace it. If people recognize it, then go ahead and embrace it and promote it, because you can really leverage that in an employee-employer relationship. So if you have a strong personal brand, especially, you know, as a director of community relations with a publicly traded company, having a strong brand, that's an asset mm-hmm. you can bring to that organization.
And it's still fairly inexpensive to secure these domain names and keep them for future, or just so that somebody else can't use them.
Yeah, I mean, anywhere from $10 to $15,
right?
Even $20 a year. You can secure your name out there. At least lock up your name.
I'm going to check my
name.
Because,
right, because people put that in anyway. They won't remember the name of your company necessarily, right, you know, at the beginning, or they don't know the name of your company, and they'll put your name in, and you can have it forwarded to your website.
Exactly. Right? But I do recommend, if you're in a professional sense and you have a business, you still want to have a personal website. You know, website, because...
Oh, you don't want to just use the name to be forwarded to your business when you want to have a separate one?
Especially if you have employees. I mean, if you're a small business sole proprietor where you are your business,
right.
Then it's a little bit more difficult to have that separation. But I highly recommend that, like, for example, I have a website called marksenacola.com, and it's more of my personal views on entrepreneurship and kind of the journey as an entrepreneur in life in general, which I post some things that, while they're not inappropriate, but they wouldn't necessarily be appropriate for the Bannerview website, where I have a blog that I have that publishes tips and advice for conducting business on the internet.
Explain for those that might not know, we hear all these terms, but what is a blog exactly?
A blog is really, it comes from the term weblog, and it's been shortened to blog.
I was wondering that.
Yeah, and it's simply, it's an online diary. You know, people, mainly girls, used to write in a diary, and so it's kind of an online version of that. And so it's not limited to just little girls that write in a diary anymore. It's become mainstream, and so people have leveraged kind of their life stories to kind of tell their personal, you know, expose their personal brand to the world. So now they have a platform to broadcast their personal brand. So whereas before you might have been well known or popular in your high school, and that was about it. People in the other high schools didn't know who you were, mm-hmm. but now everybody can know who you are across the world. So
a lot of people are using their Facebook page as their personal brand. So in your advice to your child, you know, be careful what you put out there. Facebook can sometimes act as that personal brand webpage, like
right.
you're talking about, if you can't secure your name.
Caroline, you're right. But I still highly recommend, I mean, with Facebook, you know, especially with a lot of privacy issues that have been going on, you know, I just assume that nothing's private if you put it out
Absolutely.
There on the internet.
Yeah, that's been in the news a
yeah,
lot lately.
Yeah, you know, it's...
Employers are looking at Facebook when they're interviewing and...
They're using it as part of the background
yeah.
Check process. But Facebook, every time you say Facebook, who are you branding? You're branding Facebook. You're not branding yourself. So you tell people about your own website, yes, you know, you're branding yourself. So you can have Facebook, you can do Twitter, you can do all the social media sites. You know, who knows, Justin Timberlake is bringing sexy back with MySpace. So I don't know if you heard the news today, but MySpace was sold, and he's got some sort of involvement with it. But no matter what social network you use, you don't own it. Whereas your own website, you have some control over it, and you can have all arrows point back to your own website.
Okay, we have so many more questions for you, but we're going to take a short break. And the phone lines are open, 731-1230. We'll be right back.
will return to the Las Vegas. All positive, all the time. After these brief messages.
Do you know the most cost-effective and persuasive marketing tool most people overlook or avoid? Public speaking. I'm Amy Ayoub, owner of Moving People to Action. There are so many opportunities to spread your message through public speaking, while networking, at professional associations, workshops, and so many other venues. In these challenging times, give yourself a competitive advantage. Improve your public speaking skills and overcome your fear. For those of you who are saying, I'm not afraid to speak in public, do not confuse being comfortable with being compelling. You gain instant credibility when you connect to an audience, whether it's an audience of one or 1,000. This is Amy Ayoub from Moving People to Action, inviting you to go to my website, movingpeopletoaction.com, or to call me at 702-784-7687, 702-784-7687, to find out how you can become a dynamic communicator.
This is Scott from the Las Vegas, thanking our sponsor, MyTeamLoyalty.com. If you are a parent, coach, teacher, team, church, or charity, MyTeamLoyalty.com has an answer to your fundraising needs. You can do your regular shopping anytime or place in the world through MyTeamLoyalty.com, and a portion of your dollar spent will go right back to the person, team, or organization of your choice. Grandma can shop from Ohio and help Sally's soccer team in Las Vegas without spending an extra dime. That's MyTeamLoyalty.com.
This is the Las Vegas, all positive, all the time. Here again is Amy Ayoub and Scott Ashton.
Welcome back to the Las Vegas, all positive, all the time. Telephone lines are open if you have any questions, 702-731-1230. So Mark, if somebody's just starting out, do they begin with a personal or a business brand?
Well, you always start out with your personal brand, whether you like it or not. So you really got to figure out what's going to go into your personal brand and how you can leverage that into your small business, or if you're working for another company. And if you have a strong personal brand, that's going to help you leverage what you do in business, whether, again, it's working for somebody else or it's starting your own company. And so I do recommend that if you're not doing anything now in business, or you don't, or you haven't taken control of your personal brand, now's the best time to do that. Again, it is affordable, you know, as far as locking up your name. You know, you may want to invest a little money into, really, it's a personal investment. If you invest in your personal brand and it's not that expensive, it can position you so when you do go into business and you build your own website for your company, or you go to work for an employer, you can reposition that brand to drive traffic to that employer or to that new business.
Small businesses really, have some constraints on their time and their money. So where should they put that money, and their time? Where should they focus it?
Right, and you know, one of the things I mentioned in my book, The Banner Brand, Small Business Success Comes from a Banner Brand, Build It on a Budget, speaks to that question. And really, what it is a lot of small businesses think that it's too expensive to brand yourself. Well, really, that's a fallacy. And if you're not branding yourself, you're missing out on future opportunities. A lot of the small businesses are thinking, okay, what am I going to invest in today to make me money today? Whereas they're not thinking, what can I invest today that can make me money over the next several years? So they're looking for the quick hit as opposed to the long-term recurring benefits that a strong brand can bring. So as far as the budgetary concerns that you mentioned, which are certainly issues, there's a number of things that you can do that are low cost that can position your brand for success. And of course, a website certainly plays a factor in that. And one of the things that we've done at BannerView.com is we've created what's called a website lease option. So typically a small business owner that wants to get a great looking website that's going to earn them the recognition, respect, and rewards that they want to get out of it, it has to spend $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, even $20,000. And that's just not an option for a lot of small businesses nowadays. So what we've done is we've taken that same concept, whereas you get a great quality website and then you can lease it and pay for it over time and pay for it on a monthly basis. So that's going to give those small businesses the opportunity to get everything they need to be successful, but still be able to stay in business and not break the bank on their website. So it's a very cost-effective way that they can position themselves for success.
That's great.
So I think you slightly glanced over your three R's in, for developing a personal brand. I know that you have a very popular presentation and you talk about that. Can you tell me a little bit more about the three R's and repeat them again? Because I know you just said them. That's great.
Yeah. One of the things that, you know, our company's mission, what we've created, our mission is really to build great websites that earn recognition, respect, and rewards. And it's for our small business customers to be able to compete on the same scale as the larger businesses that have much more or much more money or many more resources available to them. So the recognition, respect, and rewards. And those things mean different things to different people. So each business has a different kind of perception of what respect is going to mean or what the mm-hmm. rewards are going to be from that and what the recognition is going to be. So, you know, in my case, you know, I think of recognition as, you know, people saying, oh, Mark Sinicola, he's great. You know, oh, you got to do business with him. Okay, that's recognition. Well, that recognition, if somebody's saying, hey, there's Mark Sinicola, you got to do business with his company. He runs Bannerview.com. Mm-hmm. Well, then that's me getting the reward from them doing business with us. So they kind of work together to lead to the ultimate R, which is results mm-hmm. and results for your business. So if you're getting the recognition, you're getting the respect from the business community or the people that are going to do business with you, it's going to translate into the rewards, which ultimately give you the results that you're looking for.
And, you know, just because you're a small business, and small business can mean one person, two persons, or, you know, 10 people, your web presence can really make your future customers or your colleagues think that you are a much bigger operation. So talk a little bit about web design and how that can impact your business, even if you're a small business.
Well, Caroline, you brought up a great point, and it's not just positioning yourself to look bigger, it's actually positioning yourself to act bigger. And what I mean by that is with a website presence, you can do a lot more if you weave in the business processes as far as being able to communicate with your customers. Maybe you're doing email marketing, or maybe you're broadcasting useful tips and advice for doing business on the internet, like in our case, or whatever business you may be in, or maybe you're in an automotive business and you're providing customers with tips and advice to maintain their cars so when they bring it in, they can lower their maintenance costs. That's gonna build loyalty. And that's harder to do, you know, when you're just a small business in the traditional sense of sending out a physical newsletter or whatever have you. Now you can leverage your website, which is a much lower cost, and actually make your small business run like a big business to service those customers.
Right. Even the ease of payment or accessing information just on the how-tos to get involved in the business.
Yeah, I'll give you an example, Caroline. Is we had a customer that probably processes about 15,000 invoices a month. They're a small business, but they have a lot of customers. And so you could imagine when they have to process 15,000 pieces of paper within a month period, that can be quite overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done with them recently is given them the option to accept invoice payments online. And so it's opened up or freed up the staff to do other things than taking calls or processing payments themselves. It's really empowered the customers to do some of the work. And actually, it's a mutual benefit because the customers, it's more convenient for them. And obviously, it's more convenient for the business owners because they don't have to do the work. So you can act like a bigger business if you implement these technologies into your website.
There's a lot of talk about SEO, search engine optimization. What is that? And can small businesses leverage that?
SEO, I have no idea what that is. No, I mean,
I'll teach you.
It's voodoo, it's magic, it's everything. No, really, what it comes down to is, again, it really comes down to getting the recognition. And you want the search engines to recognize you as an expert in your field. So in our case, if you're searching for website design strategies or, you know, in your business, Amy, looking for strategies to help you become a better speaker, you want to be listed high up on the search engines. Well, the search engines have...
Which means if you put it in Google...
Yeah, if you put it in Google, you put Bing or Yahoo, whatever have you, okay. You want your business to come up. And Google, being all of the search engines, they want to display the best results, the most relevant results, because they want people to come back to their search engine. So if I go to a search engine and I'm searching for things and I'm not finding what I want, well, what are you going to do? You're going to leave. You're going to go somewhere else because you're not finding it. So the search engines have a need or desire to display the best results. And then, of course, you have a desire to be in the best results. So what do you have to do to get there? And that's really part of search engine optimization, is making sure you're positioning yourself to get recognized by the search engines so they can drive traffic back to your website.
Which is really associating yourself with keywords. So in Amy's case, speaking or public speaking would be keywords that would drive people to her website, or for her site to lead to the top when that word is placed into the Google or whatever the search engine is.
Right. So it's positioning yourself as an expert in the eyes of the search engine, that for public speaking related services, that Amy would come up higher than, say, somebody else. And in order to do that, there's certain strategies that you have to employ on your website. Number one, you need to make sure your website's coded properly, so when the search engines come to it, they can read it. They can understand what you have on your website. They can understand what it's about. Number two is having great content. You know, great content is really the driver of traffic to websites. So if you don't say anything about speaking and how you can help people become better speakers, well, how do you expect anybody to find you?
That's a good point.
Or why would the search engines even want to send people to your website? Because you don't have information on it that is relevant to what they're trying to find. And the third thing is really, it comes down to reputation. And that kind of aligns with respect. When you have a lot of respect in the community, and of course Amy certainly does, and Caroline, you know, with the kind of company that you work for as director of community relations for a publicly traded company, you have a certain level of respect in the position that you're in. So if somebody's looking for, you know, help with finding a speaker or becoming a better speaker, people are saying, go to Amy or go to Caroline because she's an expert in communications.
Right.
So if people are saying that in the real world, Google wants to get that and send that out to the online world. So they're looking for people that are linking to you and right. saying great things about you, that for speaking opportunities or speaking improvements or whatever have you, that they're going to point to Amy's website or they're going to point to Caroline's website.
So how does a business go about doing this? Is this something they can do on their own, or is this something they would work with like a company like yours, or how do they go about?
It's a collaborative approach. You know, we're not going to run your business for you. You have to understand there's a lot of work involved in running a business. In case you thought it was easy, it's not. But we work with our customers one-on-one to identify strategies that they can employ to help them get better rankings on the search engines. But it's a true collaborative strategy where we have to understand what their business goals are, what problem they're solving in the market, and then help them figure out ways to tailor that information and present it in a way that's search engine friendly.
You work with small and mid-sized businesses. Do you work with solopreneurs, or are your companies more, you know, is there a minimum amount of employees usually where they reach that critical mass that they really have to have your help?
Well, there's different stages of customer that we work with. And the first stage, of course, is solopreneur, somebody just starting out, their own employee. And, you know, they need to start somewhere. And usually they're so pressed for time, it's difficult for them to spend the time with us that we need in order to develop their website. Now, we have some great solopreneur customers, but typically we like to look for a company that has at least one employee or has somebody, whether it's their wife or their husband, that can kind of play that role and be the champion for the website, because it's an interactive process. Again, going back to the collaboration I was talking about with SEO, it's the same thing with building a great website. We have to be collaborators with our customer in order to pull out the information from them we need in order to position them for success online. So going from solopreneur to having somebody that can kind of assist you, to a company that has an employee that they can dedicate toward the project, to larger companies that have many employees that can have somebody dedicated on staff to actually make a lot of the updates that we enable them to do on their own.
Thank you. We're going to take another quick break, and we will be right back with Mark Senecola, 731-1230.
You're listening to The Las Vegan. All positive, all the time. Scott and Amy return right after this.
This is Scott from The Las Vegan, thanking our sponsor, MyTeamLoyalty.com. If you are a parent, coach, teacher, team, church, or charity, MyTeamLoyalty.com has an answer to your fundraising needs. You can do your regular shopping anytime or place in the world through MyTeamLoyalty.com, and a portion of your dollar spent will go right back to the person, team, or organization of your choice. Grandma can shop from Ohio and help Sally's soccer team in Las Vegas without spending an extra dime. That's MyTeamLoyalty.com.
When I found myself stuck, not sure what I wanted my life to look like, I decided to do for myself what the top athletes and CEOs do, hire a coach. And it's the best decision I've made. Amy Ayoub from Moving People to Action did just that. Moved me to action by helping me get clear on what my values, vision, and passions are. I'm Caroline Sioka, Community Relations Director at SuperPON. The simple act of writing things down that had been floating around in my head for years was transformational. Everything started falling into place after Amy coached me through my deliberate life design. And her public speaking coaching has opened up a completely new world to me. Not only am I giving keynote speeches, but I'm able to leave an impression when giving a 2-minute introduction or sponsorship moment. Don't settle for all right. Go all out and live every moment of your life to its fullest. Go to Amy's website at movingpeopletoaction.com or call her at 702-784-7687 and let her get you moving in a positive direction.
What industry offers careers that are rewarding, challenging, and always in demand, no matter what the economy? The answer? Healthcare. The solution? Northwest Health Careers. We are physician-owned and operated and offer students quality education that prepares them for a variety of jobs in the healthcare field. Small classes, lifetime job placement, and financial aid to those who qualify are just a few of our benefits. Find out more today.
Your future starts now. Call Northwest Health Careers, 702-254-7577. 702-254-7577. Welcome back to the Las Vegas. All positive, all the time. Here again is Amy Ayoub and Scott Ashton.
Welcome back to the Las Vegas. All positive, all the time. I'm Amy Ayoub with my special co-host, Caroline Sioka, and our wonderful guest, Mark Senecola.
Mark, you were talking a little bit about, having a web presence and how to optimize your search engine and all those things that really mean a lot to a business today, with technology being such an important part of our world. And now it's not just about having a website. It's also about Facebook and Twitter and blogging, and it can really get overwhelming and be really time-consuming. What do you recommend a small business do? Which mediums do you recommend they use that they can get the most out of with our technology today?
Well, Caroline, there's a number of strategies you can employ, and of course, as you said, you can get overwhelmed with the number of different social media websites that are available to you. So you really kind of have to pick your battles. And you have to do an evaluation and get familiar with the services and how other businesses are using those services. And then really pick one and kind of use that as your kind of your home base where you're going to do most of your work. You know, be aware of the other ones. But again, time is critical, and you can't spend all of your time on social media. You still have to run a business. So if you don't have resources available to be on all of them, then just pick one or two that you're very active with, and then just kind of forget about the others. You know what's going on with them, but devote the time when you can to the others.
They're all very different. So Facebook is a different type of technology that serves a multiple of purposes. And then there's Twitter, which I don't tweet. I've never tweeted before in my life.
Should I tweet?
I don't even know what it looks like. I'm a dinosaur, I feel like. But, is there one that you prefer, one over the other, for different reasons?
Actually, yes. Me personally, I like to use Twitter, but our company, we have a Facebook page. We have, a Twitter account. We have a YouTube channel, which a lot of people forget.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, YouTube
is a great social website because people love to share videos, especially funny ones about cats for some reason. But all kidding aside, is that you can really leverage your YouTube channel to get people to share videos about your company and get exposed to your brand. So don't forget about YouTube. But you're right. With Facebook is more about making personal connections. So as far as a brand is concerned, it's important to have a fan page. But remember, I mean, people are on Facebook not to talk with Coca-Cola or talk with Pepsi. I mean, yeah, they may enter a contest. So if you're running some sort of contest in a social environment like that, Facebook can be a good option for you. But if you're really expecting one-on-one communication with your customer, Facebook may not be that avenue. Or maybe it's Twitter, because Twitter, you can talk directly to your customers. You can have fans that follow you and see your updates, communicate directly one-on-one without having to friend somebody per se.
Right.
And so that's the thing I like about Twitter, is it's a little bit more open. It's like Twitter is by nature public, whereas Facebook, there's supposed to be some semblance of privacy, or at least control over your privacy. And so that's really the difference. Whereas you have to open things up on Facebook or close them down, whereas on Twitter, it's pretty open by nature.
And is Twitter a one-way street most of the time? Either you're communicating with your customer or people are communicating with you?
Well, that's, I think, one of the misnomers or the misuses of Twitter, is that it can be a collaborative medium, and people forget that. Yeah. Whereas they think it's mostly a broadcast medium. And that's kind of the mistake that people make, is, you know, people get tired of just hearing you talk about yourself. And here I am talking, doing most of the talking here on the show. But
it's okay.
They get tired of hearing you talk about yourself. So what you need to do is make sure that you aren't ignoring people that are communicating back with you, and you do some direct communication with other people.
Right.
Your company's doing a lot of things to brand themselves a little bit differently, mm-hmm. right? I know Zappos has tours that people come through, and
yeah, we stole a few ideas from Zappos, actually.
I just said, borrowed
new things too, right? Talk about some of those things.
Actually, one of the unique things we're doing, and Amy, bring up a good point, as far as everybody wants to focus on online things, but you gotta make sure you don't neglect the offline things that can really help right. brand your company and leverage what you're doing online. And one of the things that Zappos is effective with, of course, is their tours. You can go down and see their culture, get exposed to it. And so we kind of took that idea. We're a little bit smaller company than Zappos, but
right now,
working on it. And so one of the things that we did is we took their concept and kind of miniaturized it. Whereas we do a little, we had a little tour going on where people could come down to our office. We gave them a little presentation. We fed them lunch. We showed them around, showed them that we actually have developers on staff. We actually host and maintain your website on staff. We showed them some of the security features of our facility, as well as did some fun things like took their pictures with our cars that we have wrapped and, you know, and posted them on the social media sites and gave them a copy of the picture so they could share. And so we were really leveraging what we were doing offline at our office and mixing it in with the social media aspect of it. And it was very effective. And so what we've done recently is we've repositioned that same program, and it's called the Banner Edutainment Series. So what we've done is we've created a series of interactive workshops, and for free, for small to mid-sized businesses that want to come in and learn about conducting business on the internet. They want to learn what this SEO thing's all about. They want to learn about blogging. They want to learn about email marketing. And so we've created a series of workshops where people can actually get that face time with us. And then hopefully, you know, we get a lot of people that want us to do it for them. And so that's a great way that we've been branding our company, whereas we do all of the marketing of it all online, but offline is where we're getting the action.
Because there's still, even though we're an online universe, everything's online, people still want that presence of seeing the human being behind that website.
Exactly.
And so that's a great way to connect the two.
Well,
sorry, we've just lost a caller, by the way, Steve. So if Steve's still listening, please call back in.
Steve, are you there?
Okay.
Well, I'm
okay.
Sorry, Steve.
Call
back,
call
in. Back
in.
We want to hear from you. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your work in social media. You talk about three steps to develop a social media marketing plan. Can you talk a little bit about that since we're on this social media topic? And we don't. Okay. Will you talk a little bit about your three steps?
Yes, really what it comes down to is before you embark on a social media campaign, you really have to break it down into phases. You know, really you got to understand what your company's about. Unfortunately, a lot of people want to jump into social media before they really even have their business figured out and what their product is, how they're going to market it, what they're going to say to the customers, what the value proposition is, etc. And so that's really the first step, is understanding what your game plan is. social media is just a medium, and it's not the entire strategy. So you have to understand that. Do we have a caller?
Yes, okay. Steve, you're back on the phone. Thank you so much. Did you have a question?
I have a question and a comment, and I think Carolyn sounds way better than Scott, by the way. And Amy, you should keep it.
I have a feeling that your voice is quite popular by now. So
are you disguising yourself, Stephen?
So we have Scott Ashton on the phone. Scott.
How are you? The question that I had is, and I just walked in the door, so I don't know if you guys have already touched on this. With the social media thing, how do you combat the negative post that anonymous cowards can make for a individual that are clearly not true? How does your company, or can you comment on that about, you know, there's a lot of great positive things about the internet, but the people that can, you know, go online and post anonymously and do all these things, how can a person protect themselves against that, I guess, is my question. Okay. Nice to hear you, Carolyn. You sound great.
Thanks for taking the night off, Scott.
Thank you.
Scott, that's a great question. And really, there are some strategies that you can do to combat the negativity. And number one is, of course, having your own website presence, whether it's for your personal brand or whether it's for your corporate brand. That way, you can have all of the arrows pointing back to the actual source of the information and what's really true. For example, if you're on, you know, of course, if you're on Facebook, you know, you're having links back to your website. If you're posting blog articles, you have your blog directly integrated with your website. So that way, when the search engines pick it up, they're driving traffic back to your website. So if you can position your website to show up higher up in the results, yes, you're going to have negative comments, but the way to combat them is you start pushing those negative comments down. So when people are searching for things about your company, whether it's a negative review or a negative comment that gets said somewhere, it gets pushed down and people are not going to go past the first page of the results. So if you lock in the first 10 results when it comes to searches related to your company, you really have a way of effectively combating the negativity, and you can kind of push it away and get your message out, which, you know, in your case, if it's, you know, you're talking about whatever you may be talking about and you think, hey, you know, this is the way it really is, you can get your message ahead of everybody else.
Because there's no real way to remove it. Once it's out there, you can remove it from your page, but you can't remove it from being out in the Etherville.
Right. And it's the same thing offline. You know, if people are saying bad things about you at a cocktail party, you know, and spreading rumors around, well, what do? It's the same thing that you do. And you make sure that you ally yourself with people that are advocates of you and kind of, you know, ignore that negativity and try to bring the positive back and get people that can rally around you and combat and fight for you. And that's really how you can leverage the web, is you can build some relationships with people online that may see those points of views, you know, those negative views and stick up for you and find those fans out there by just doing what you're doing. And if you're in business and you're providing a great service and a great product and people are saying good things about you, you know, I wish I could say we had 100% of our customers love us. You know, we probably have about 80% of our customers love us. The other 10% are satisfied, and then maybe 10%, you know, didn't have a good experience with us. So yes, I would love to have 100% positive reviews, but that's just not the reality.
Right.
So as long as we're providing a good service, a good product to our customers, and they're happy customers, they're going to attract other customers that are like-minded, and we're going to be able to service them quite well.
Thank you. Thanks, Scott.
That's a great answer, and it seems like 80% of the satisfied customers generally don't comment online. It's only the 10% that that do, but thanks. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, Scott.
I have a follow-up to his comment, actually, and you know, Scott mentioned that the 80% that's happy are not commenting, and that's why you do things offline, because you build that loyalty with your customers, and it gives them an opportunity to share things about your company. For example, with our tours and our classes, we get great feedback from that, and we're able to take that feedback and publish it online. So even if they're not publishing it themselves, we can take that information with their permission, of course, say, hey, can we use that in our newsletter? Can we use that on our website? Hey, can you post something or, you know, share a picture? And so that's a way to get your customers that are happy actually involved and use them as a tool against the negativity out there.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. So I'm gonna segue a little into some of the work you do as a volunteer in the business community, and I know that you serve on the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce Business Council. And Amy and I are huge Chamber fans. We're both graduates of the Leadership Las Vegas program, and I know we could talk for hours about how wonderful the Chamber is for the community and especially the business community. What exactly does the council do? What are they responsible for?
And the council is responsible for four of the major programs the Las Vegas Chamber puts on every year. And so they're responsible for the Business Expo that was just last week, actually, and we had a great participation in that. They're also responsible for an educational program where they bring in speakers and, you know, teach topics about business and branding and marketing. They're also responsible for the Customer Service Excellence Awards, so recognizing people in the community that have done a great job, gone above and beyond to service their customers. And then the last program is actually the Small Business Excellence Awards that recognizes small businesses in the community that have done outstanding things, because you see a lot of, you know, large businesses getting a lot of the attention. So this is a great avenue for the small businesses to get that recognition, respect, and rewards that they deserve.
You also work with the Chamber on their website.
We do, actually. If you go to the Las Vegas Chamber, lvchamber.com, you'll actually be going to a server that's hosted in our facility at our office. We've worked with them for the last about a little over a year and a half, on helping them do business on the internet, and it's been a great experience. And I've really been actively involved in the Chamber. So if you get involved in any organization, whether it's the Las Vegas Chamber or another organization, you get out of it what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a great tool for us to really leverage the relationships we built offline and continue to cultivate the online relationship. So going back to my book, The Banner Brand, by the way, you can go to thebannerbrand.com and order
Pick up your copy.
You can really leverage what you're doing offline, combine it with what you're doing online. And that's why you got to have a strategy that synchronizes the two. And you can't do something differently online and then do something differently offline. You have to have a concerted effort to integrate the two together.
And the Chamber certainly offers that platform. It's like we're branding offline, you know.
Exactly.
This is the new branding online and offline.
Well, we do have online streaming, you know, people listening in, right?
That's right, they are. But the Chamber offers that platform to
right.
be able to network and interact face-to-face with the business community. And I think that that's an excellent way to get involved in the community and brand yourself and your business.
Yeah, Caroline, you're absolutely right. And I don't think without organizations like the Chamber, you know, we certainly wouldn't be as successful as we are. We couldn't do everything online. We certainly couldn't. And, you know, every Chamber event I go to, and I try to make as many as I possibly can and have our staff go and represent when I'm not there or even with me. And, you know, every time I meet somebody at a Chamber event, there's always a follow-up, whether it's online or offline, but that strategy is there. And it's so simple. I mean, the Chamber is an affordable way for small businesses to meet other small businesses and potential customers. And then when you meet people, you just got to make sure that you're leveraging that encounter and following up with it and using email marketing and blogging and sending out information via social media is a great way to leverage that offline relationship and build and continue to cultivate it online.
You were also a keynote speaker at the Chamber at the Business
yes.
Education
Uh-oh.
Series. And
so I'm worried about what you're going to say.
No.
About
you know, obviously, in my training, I tell people what a great opportunity it is to use public speaking as a very affordable way to market your business. So
right.
have you found that to be true? And have you used that method for a long time? I know you're asked to speak in California pretty soon too. And
is
it California?
No, there's an event coming up here actually, and there's some other events I do around the country. But public speaking, of course, is a great way to get in front of a large audience. And so you're in a networking environment. You can meet people one on one. You can only meet so many people, but if you're on a platform, you're in front of a group of people. It's a phenomenal way to get in front of people. And actually, you know, you mentioned it's an inexpensive way. Sometimes you even get paid for it.
Right.
So it's the best of both worlds. But I've effectively utilized public speaking to get more business for my company.
Right.
You know, it positions my brand, and it really started offline and then translated it its way online and then back offline. So it's a complete circle going from online to offline to online. And that's why you got to leverage the two. And I've done that with public speaking. So what I've done is, you know, I was able to position myself as an expert in my field. Whether I'm an expert or not, I'll leave that up for you to decide. But I positioned myself as an expert utilizing my blog. And so the blog on the bannerview.com website. And then using those writing skills that I've been developing and cultivating into a book, The Banner Brand. And then also, as a published author, you find it easier to get speaking opportunities. Mm-hmm. So if an organization's going to pick between two people that are everything's about equivalent, and one person's a published author and one person's not, there's that additional credibility mm-hmm. factor, mm-hmm. and you can get speaking opportunities much easier.
Great. I want to give a plug to your book, too, because it's done in a way that people can understand. They can read a small portion of it at a time and really get something out of it and be able to leverage that no matter what size business they are.
Right. And that's kind of what I wanted to do with the book and is put it in small bite-sized chunks that could be digested by busy small business owners. Mm-hmm. And so you could go, you know, read a chapter, read a couple of the blog articles that I've incorporated into there and get some great nuggets of information. Go, hey, you know what? If I can incorporate that in my business and it does something, it was worth it. You know, mm-hmm. it was worth the experience.
Mark, you're also on the board of Turnaround Management Association. And in fact, we're recognized as one of the most valuable members in 2009. Tell us about that. What is the Turnaround Management Association?
The Turnaround Management Association, it's the Nevada chapter. The Turnaround Management Association is a national organization or international organization that has about 9,000 members. And what they're focused on is corporate restructuring and helping companies work through issues. And whether it's working through issues because of distress, bankruptcy, you know, distressed assets, or companies that are having growing pains, you know, because even growing companies have these same struggles that big corporations that are struggling to survive have. And so that organization is dedicated to those professionals that help others turn around their businesses or improve their business operations. So I got involved, was kind of an interesting thing, way how I got involved, because it's not really my forte or my area of expertise per se. But I was able to, I had the foresight to see that, you know, we're going to probably at some point get into trouble or we're going to need help growing. And so I leveraged the connections within the organization and the educational programs to know what to not do or to do differently when I find myself or my company in those situations. And so it's been an effective tool to do that. And I've made some great relationships. As a matter of fact, our new chief marketing officer, Pamela Joy Ring, who was the immediate past president of the organization, that's how I met her. And so we developed a relationship over the last 4 years. And she came on board, made an investment in our company, led a round of our first outside financing that we had for Bannerview. And that was a relationship that I met through the TMA. And so the TMA's brought business to our company as well. So it's been a great organization all the way around, and I figure, you know, when I get involved in an organization, I really want to be involved both feet in. So,
your expertise in web presence, web development, and web marketing and branding is probably very beneficial to an organization like TMA because that could be probably one of the challenging areas that you have a web presence, but you're not getting the most out of it, or you're growing and you need to take your website to a different level. So I think that the organization is probably very lucky to have someone like you involved to guide them in that area of expertise.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have a direct impact on the organization with the TMA of Nevada.com website that we built and helped them establish so they could get the members registered for events and help. Almost the organization is a very young organization, so it had some challenges getting started. And one of the things that really helped kind of put things together was their website. And so, Caroline, what you're talking about is some companies, you know, they are in distress or they are struggling, and what they don't realize is that their website can actually be a cost-effective way to put their operations back together.
How about network? Give one tip about networking in person. When people are going to these chamber events, it can be overwhelming. What do you suggest?
Always ask for somebody's business card and make sure that you follow up.
That I love that. Follow up. Oh, Caroline and I are preaching that all the time. So that's perfect. Thank you so much for sharing all your information. Give your website one more time, which is the name of your company.
Bannerview.com, and make sure to give your website the Bannerview.
Very good. Thank you, Caroline, for being an excellent special co-host.
Thank you.
We hope you'll do that again.
I'd love to be back.
Join us again next Wednesday night at 6 o'clock on the Las Vegas. All positive, all the time.
How'd you like to be a mystery shopper, earning no less than $450 a venture? Getjob450@gmail.com. It's easy, simple, and no application fees. Getjob450@gmail.com. Getjob450@gmail.com. Earning cash for shopping. Getjob450@gmail.com. Be a mystery shopper. Getjob450@gmail.com. Getjob450@gmail.com.
My name is Jeffrey Burke, and I'm the host of The Staying Healthy Show here on KLAV. The Staying Healthy Show is now on KLAV 10 times per week. 10 times for you to hear the best guest in the industry and learn about the best nutritional products available for your good health. You can hear my show weekday mornings at 8 and a new show again at 5. Both shows are drive time for your listening pleasure. The show is sponsored by Stay Healthy Health Food Store, located at 840 South Rancho Drive in the Rancho Town and Country Center on the northwest corner of Charleston and Rancho. The hours of the store are Monday through Friday from 9 to 7 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 6, and closed on Sundays. Wayne Rudolph built his store with three principles in mind: great products and selection, a knowledgeable staff, and memorable service every time you visit his store. Please tune into the Staying Healthy Show 10 times per week here on KLAV. I'm looking forward to chatting with all of you and helping you get healthy, be healthy, and stay healthy.
Hey, it's Schnitt. Thrilled to be on the air in Las Vegas on KLAV 1230 AM, the talk of Las Vegas. Join me every Monday through Friday from noon to 2 p.m. If you're tired of the same old blah, blah, blah talk radio in Las Vegas, then tune into the Schnitt Show. Las Vegans, if you want to hear a brand new, fresh opinion on conservative political talk, keep the dial locked in on 1230 AM KLAV or listen to me live online at KLAV1230AM.com.
Hi, this is Brad Snyder and Joanna McFarlane, new host of the radio program Our House, the Zipper Realty Radio Show, every Wednesday at 11 a.m.
On this show, we will offer you insider tips on what you should know about the real estate market before you make your next purchase or sale. On Our House, we will talk all things real estate, from finding the right house, what loan is right for you, all the way down to home safety and decorations. We may be in Las Vegas, but when it comes to buying or selling a home, it shouldn't be a gamble.
Have your questions answered here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on Our House, the Zipper Realty Radio Show.
Is your landlord taking advantage of you? Is the bank about to foreclose on your house? Have you been denied unemployment or other government benefits? Has your landlord discriminated against you? Don't give up the fight. Listen to Nevada Legal Services' new program, Legal Services On Air, every Friday afternoon at 4.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Hello, I'm Meredith Berger, publisher of the Las Vegas Kids Directory. We are proud to be the longest-running family publication in Las Vegas. Each month, Las Vegas parents pick up a copy of our resource guide to help them locate a wide variety of products and services for their families. We distribute thousands of free copies of the directory all over Las Vegas each month. Each week, I will have on a different family-oriented business discussing important family-oriented topics. Join us for the Las Vegas Kids Directory radio show Sundays at noon.
Stressing? Relax. Hello, I'm Dr. Reutemann. Let me take you through Las Vegas with a new perspective. From the underground to the unconscious, discover what's beneath the surface of our fabulous city. Shrinking Las Vegas reveals the underbelly of our struggling community as we make our way to adulthood. Interviews and call-ins reveals how things work when they do, and when they don't, explains why not. Learn how to listen in a new way Mondays at 7 p.m. Shrinking Las Vegas.
I'm Scott Ashton.
And I'm Amy Ayoub.
Join us Wednesdays at 6 p.m. for the hottest new talk show, The Las Vegan. All positive, all the time.
Tune in for positive stories from the movers and shakers in our community who are keeping Las Vegas the happening place it's been for over six decades. You'll hear from business people, elected officials, casino industry leaders, and your favorite charities.
Help us promote the Las Vegas we love. Email your stories to scott@thelasvegan.com.
Join us every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for The Las Vegan. All positive, all the time.
Hi, everybody. This is Faith Hill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. As a performer, I've had many wonderful moments to celebrate. So please, when you celebrate, designate. Please choose a designated driver. Music lives, and you should too. Hey, that's the
way we do it. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Yes, the national.
Love us on radio. Like